It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. I do 3 new interviews every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists. New interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at all the usual places that you can grab podcasts. That includes Spotify and Apple Podcasts, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Some of my recent guests have included, the makers behind Apple TV's The Morning Show, the band Baroness, Corey Taylor of Slipknot, actor Michael C. Hall with his band Princess Goes. We had Leve drop by, Andy Taylor, formerly of Duran Duran, Rat Boys, Westlife, Tommy Stinson from The Replacements, Jerry Harrison of The Talking Heads. It's just an example of what you can hear when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, The Breeders, Kim Deal, Kelly Deal, Josephine Wiggs, and Jim McPherson. We're talking the 30th anniversary of Last Splash. This is their indie classic. We're going to get into the making of it, including their near mythological amount of experimentation and how the weird 90s opened the door for their unlikely single Cannonball to be a worldwide hit. The band's also going to recall the story of how they thought they had lost the original analog tapes before an industry friend helped them locate a secondary version that would also unearth the previously unreleased Go Man Go and an alternate version of their hit single Divine Hammer that featured Dinosaur Jr.'s Jay Maskus on the vocals. As for what's next, the band's going to tell us that, Kim has a solo album lined up, and they've got some tour dates, some of them even with Belly, which of course opens the door for a former member, Tanya Donnelly, to join them on stage. It's all that and more as we talk about the 30th edition of Last Splash. It's Kyle Meredith with The Breeders.
Hi, Kyle.
Hello. It's a pleasure to have you guys here. We're talking, it's the, let's do this properly. It's the 30th anniversary of this beautiful
little record right here, that's Last right. Splash. And there's a deluxe edition, and you're going back to the tapes, and you found some vault songs that I'm going to ask about. But I guess that's the beginning, right? Happy anniversary. I know this isn't the anniversary of the band, but still, what a fantastic record it still is. So
thanks. It's it feels really special to be able to celebrate this record and to have people want to hear it, eager to hear it, and eager to go to the shows after 30 years. And that's really, I mean, that's I'm impressed with that.
Yeah.
And I'm in the middle of it, and I find that impressive, you know.
Like, I'm still reading stories about this album that I never knew about. Like, the experimentation that went into the recording feels like its own legend that goes into this stuff. The kooky stuff that you guys were doing in the studio, was that always a part of your all's? I mean, was that a part of Pod and Safari and everything before that? I mean, was that just how you all operated? Or was there something about this record that kind of lent itself to that?
It's definitely not how Pod was recorded. Pod... basically, the session that we just recorded here was more complex than the Pod sessions.
However, like, for instance, I remember when Albini, we were doing Happiness and Warm Gun, he pulls out his big and go,
that's true,
for a flick. If you listen to Happiness is a Warm Gun, the first thing you hear is his big glider hitting. Why? Because it sounded cool. It seemed like a cool thing to do, you know? So even though at the time, nothing feels like we're experimenting. It's not like, let's do a lot of experimentation. Mm-hmm. It's like, I thought Jim's drums, his cymbals were too ringy or something, so we threw him off the second floor to try to deaden them. To me, that's not experimenting. That's fixing problems.
It's being practical.
We're always fixing problems.
But of course, it's not how most people did that.
And, you know, I was thinking about, well, for Pod specifically, with Robin Flies Again, what's the name? Opened. You know, that is music that was kind of based on the recitation of Brit doing a dream, saying a dream, right?
In a basement in Kentucky.
In a basement in Kentucky, right?
Yeah, he had a dream, and it's just like...
what's that line? The kitchen in Kentucky in the actual...
Is it a kitchen?
It's a kitchen. There it is, yeah. I have it, because why wouldn't I have that?
Yeah.
I don't have it here,
though. What about the basement? There's a basement reference. On the concrete basement.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And yeah. Of course, we're talking about Britt from Slint, who had been a drummer originally.
Yes.
And then Jim comes along and... makes the whole world better.
I love Brit.
It's interesting, though, that, you know, you guys brought up that cover of Happiness, a Warm Gun, because I was thinking about, though, the practicalness of the recording that we might call experimentation. I was thinking about, it seemed like the White Album at that point was just like the album that every cool musician wanted to talk about. Like, it was its moments. You know, and I don't know how much
that had
to
say. Did you say Last Splash is like the White Album?
I did. Did you hear that?
No, is that what you were getting ready to... like,
absolutely, exactly what I was... I listen to Last Splash a lot more than I listen to the White Album. So, for what that's... Mm. But, no, what I was going to... you know, like what Do You Love Me Now? When I listen to it, like, there's this 60s vibe that I always hear in that song. And I don't know if you meant to... with so many bands, you can hear a lot of their influences. With you all, you had this original sound. It didn't sound like anyone, but every now and then, like, that stuff comes out. You were covering So Sad About Us from The Who or a lot around that time too. Like, I guess the question is, like, how much do you find that your influences were still creeping into your songwriting at all? Like, did that still happen around then?
I never thought of Do You Love Me Now sounding 60s. I loved The Crystals and, you know, the Shangri-Las and stuff. But do you think...
It's the dual vocal thing, I think, that gives it that feel.
I
can see what you mean.
I like that. Yeah. I think maybe that would be a good reinterpretation. Somebody should, you know, Do You Love Me Now as, a, you know, one of the, you know...
yeah, like girl the groups. 60 song. Yeah, yeah. That's a good idea.
Somebody could, or you could.
Yeah, we could. I don't know if I can...
You don't have the energy for it. No, I don't have the energy for it.
Now I'm going to think about that.
Yeah. And we'll be right back right after this.
Save big money on your next upgrade now at Menards. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. With over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from, Mohawk Tile provides long-lasting charm in any space. Visit the store and Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on in our weekly flyer. Save big money
at Menards. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with The Breeders.
But there was that great moment. I mean, just those great moments during that time. I think I talk about this a lot in interviews, too. It's like the weird 90s. Like, it didn't happen any other point. Like, you had, like, Ren and Stimpy was a mainstream cartoon around that time, you know? Like, how much of that, like, Cannonball becomes a hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a platinum-selling record, Last Splash. Mm-hmm. Like, did it feel like that at the moments when this record came out? Like, you know, I mean, we talk about it in hindsight now, you know, it's like, cool. All the alternative artists are finally, you know, on pop radio or whatever. But like, how much of the weird 90s, like, allowed for you this to be what it was?
They still don't play us on TUE in Dayton. No way. I bet we don't get played. Is EBN still up in Boston? I think they closed.
Yeah, I think they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny when you're talking about Cannonball that when asked, like, do you think that would be played on the radio? At the time, that song was so weird. It starts out with just this happening. You know, there wasn't anything else happening like that.
Right.
There's a lot of, you know, like, you know, men singing about important things. It, you know, and I really loved it all, so don't get me wrong, I really liked it all, but there was a lot of distortion and stuff. And then, I mean, the song takes how long to before it actually starts to get, so you got that, you've got this, the cymbal, you got the bass, you got that. It was a really strange song,
like
to be a radio hit,
right?
It was really weird. Yeah,
like the one guy said, the most unfriendly radio song intro ever.
Ever, yes.
But you know what, like, I think I do the air movements or vocals to every single part.
Yeah.
You know, like, we all sing along with, you know, the bass part I sing along to, the drum part I do along to, you know, the guitars. It's like every single bit of that.
Yeah.
Like,
something how that works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, even if it was the most unfriendly, it was still every single part of that is like the greatest thing in that little moment.
Yeah.
You know, and landing on that, like, how do you know? Like, it's just, that's, you stumble upon it, right? It's funny how that
or happens. As in instance, like the drum clicking, I was in the Coast Studios and Kim's like, let's do a different kind of intro, because we were doing stuff in the basement. But so I started doing like clicks and then cracks, and then so she heard like three, and then I did that one, and then she's like, yeah, keep that one. So like you said, it was just just kind of something that
we're stumbling on something. We know we wanted something to go there.
Yes.
So it's a combination.
Right.
Experimenting.
Sure.
Yeah.
There it is. Ha-ha. I've won you over. It took a little bit longer than to get to the chorus of Cannonball, but we got there. That's, glad it happened. And I should say, by the way, it all sounds simple. And I know it's not, because you have to work at this stuff. But, and like, even the guitar part, like, I was a guitar player for a very short time in my life, I think 8 years altogether. But that was one of those songs that kind of showed me, like, you can come up with something simple and it's going to work.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be complicated.
Yeah.
And that was so important to me at the time.
And some of my favorite guitar parts are simple, you know, riffs and melodies that you can, those are the best ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an earworm that sounds like the name of what it is, an earworm. It sounds like a
just kind of wiggles earworm. Itself in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the earworm. All these
and
years.
And then
so there is the new version of this, and I read about you thought the analog tapes were completely lost. What's the story? Because
Do it. I like it.
It's awkward to talk about it because we don't want to embarrass beggars.
Yes, we do.
We She's definitely English. Want to embarrass Beggars.
How could that be embarrassing?
Oh, no, she was here. I'm sorry.
But no, that's...
No, we don't.
No, but the, how can that...
Beckers hadn't even existed. Well, did they exist then?
Yes, of course they did. Yes.
Oh, yeah, they did.
It is very embarrassing for you guys.
No, just kidding.
Okay, let's just put it this way. Mm-hmm. The original tapes were in two forms. One of them was the half-inch master that was mixed down from 24-track 2-inch tape. And when we came to do the 20th anniversary performances of Last Splash. Oh, actually, you knew this before, didn't you? We knew that the 2-inch 24, there was no possibility of going back to that tape because it had melted.
Oh. Basically. In a fire, right? Or
no,
something?
No, just from age.
Oh. One hopes, though, that one keeps up with the baking in of with said a tape and does a transfer before the digital information is lost completely.
What you think is that the record company who's in possession of this priceless artifact is keeping
from
it
93.
In a humidity-controlled, you know, free of mice, etc.
We don't expect it the 2-inch to be ready to go right now. It's been baked out. It would have been baked out of existence. And anybody even chose to bake it once, which I bet they didn't.
Yeah. So anyway, we knew that that was, as we say, toast at that point. And the half-inch tape, they didn't know where it was.
Explain what half-inch tape is. What's the difference between the 2-inch tape and the half-inch?
2-inch tape is a 24-track original track.
Separated.
So if, for example, the tapes hadn't shed onto the floor, you could have conceivably remixed the album, for example. Not that you would want to, but people do.
People do, sure.
But when you... The final part, after you've... You know, we've slaved away creating those 24 tracks. It gets mixed down to a half inch tape, or it used to in the olden days. and that's the master.
Stereo, left and right.
Yeah,
master.
It's a stereo master. Uh-huh. And then they use that to manufacture the record.
So when looking at the 30th, the idea was, how about using the master, the half-inch master, and doing this fancy thing to get a high quality.
No, we already knew that they didn't know where it was.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm setting you up for a pitch.
Beggars. I'm not going to say
off the camera,
lost
but they're here.
It. I'm just going to say perhaps mislaid or mislabeled. It could still be there, but
only
nobody,
one of the greatest albums of all time. Sure.
That's, no one will ever know.
Right.
True.
In the meantime.
What was the original question, though?
In the meantime. Oh,
you know, it's interesting, too, because
how
like
this came about, how the finding the tape. Yeah.
If it were me and about. I was in charge of this big warehouse of this bulky bull crap, I don't know if I
You'd
can swear here.
Fire,
you know, I'd be
out.
Like, there's new technology. We're going places. We don't need this stuff.
No, you need
we're
going to
just use this
it.
Shiny, it's look at this shiny silver disc. This is all I need. I can see how that happens, don't you? How people get
lackadaisical
with the originals. Anyway. I would.
Don't back down.
Anyway, so
I do that, actually.
They couldn't, it's like, oh, let's use a half-inch stereo master because Abbey Road wanted to do this new thing that they're doing, which is doing the half speed master where you have two discs that represent one disc, but you play it at 45 RPM. The grooves are nice and fat. So that's nice because it's just nice. It's nice to not have the favorite song at the end of an album and then it starts to hear the distortion and stuff like that.
So you get the big deep sound all the way
that's
through.
That's right. And you play it on 45 and there's two discs that represent the Last Splash album. So we were going to do that. So of course we're going to need the half-inch stereo master. You can't do that sort of process on a CD or something. Who knows what they use? Honestly. So anyway, we asked for it and they couldn't find it, but we did find it. Sarah, who manages a Louisville band called White Reaper, she's our manager too. She knew some dude who's handling the vault in Warner Brothers. And in Warner Electra Asylum, we were on Electra. So they had the half-inch analog stereo master and they gave us a high-res transfer.
Beautiful. I've been in that vault.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I held Purple Rain.
Really?
Yeah.
A small world.
Yeah, it was big, but I didn't know that yours was in there. I would have helped you. That was like a handful. I would have grabbed it for you guys while I was there. If I had known, I was already there. It's
probably could have saved us some money.
Like Frank or something.
Yeah. Could have been so helpful. Would have been thanked in the credits. At least, I hope.
She is on the credit.
And then while you were going through the mixes, right? Mm-hmm. You saw Go Man Go.
That's where the other tracks go.
It started on the 20th. You know, we have this artist-friendly contract where 4AD can't, and Beggars, can't repackage stuff and just send it out. So on the 20th, we decided, let's do a big box set, getting all these photographs and all these notes and things and memories and rejiggering the artwork. Vaughn Oliver was still alive at the time. He was this master visionary artist that worked all the labels on all the album covers on 4AD. So we did a package there. We did a box set for the 20th. Mm-hmm. This thing that we have right now isn't a box set. It's just a really sweet recording from a really sweet half-inch master.
Right.
But the one on the 20th, I remember 4AD was sending us this list of everything they had in the vault. And I saw Go Man Go. And then we were confused. I thought we had recorded it. A demo.
I think we might have demoed it.
Why isn't
you're
it
a liar.
Demo? Then.
What?
Why isn't it on the demo if we demoed
it? You said we didn't demo it today.
No, yes, he did say that.
Did I?
He did.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
That was before we played music. The cymbals are ringing in my ear. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Did we play it live in 1992?
No.
Then we wouldn't have demoed it.
Well, maybe it was a song that we just made up in the studio.
How do we learn it?
We just made it up.
We recorded it.
We experiment.
It was an experiment.
There you go.
So it was done, but you guys forgot about it.
Yeah.
And then found it.
Literally, yeah.
And here's literally. And did you remember it at that point? Was it one of those moments like, what is this?
You call this remembering.
Sure. I'm figuring that out. Right. Kind of getting to see how this works.
What is remembering?
This.
Oh, that.
This.
I understand. It's 30 years ago, by the way. I can't remember things 12 years ago. Yeah. I get that.
This morning, frankly.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with The Breeders. So you get Go Man Go, which, by the way, is so good. And I should mention, we have been playing it in heavy rotation on WFBK for the past month. So it's so good. And there's this other, which we call Divine Maskus, which is Divine Hammer, with Jay Maskus doing the vocals.
Let me intro this.
Okay, please.
Because now you remember your lesson before about the 2-inch tape where all the tracks are. So Kim was,
I didn't like Divine Hammer, our version of Divine Hammer out.
And Do You Love Me Now, too, right?
And Do You Love Me Now. I just thought they could have a nice, really big, thick, heavy guitar on them. It would make it sound cooler.
And it's like, you know, what was that? What would Jesus do? It's like, what would Jay do?
We knew his manager, Janet Billig, at the time. And I think he was working with...
So back then, we're just going to gliss right by that. So back then, you couldn't just send tracks to somebody. So we made a copy of the 2-inch master and sent it to Jay to add stuff on. We were expecting rad guitars because he's like a guitar hero, right? And a drummer as well. I mean, and a singer, obviously, but we were... looking for guitars. But then what we got back was Jay singing.
Doing the vocals on the,
On Divine Hammer.
Yeah.
Which we call Divine Maskus.
Yeah.
It sounds really good.
It does sound really good. And it sounds so funny, though, of course, because I'd never heard. Like, I knew the version, the B-side of Do You Love Me Now. Like, that had been out there.
Right.
But hearing it on there, it's like, why would you have somebody else sing your song? You know, and then, of course, that song goes on to become its own great hit single.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Why didn't you like Divine Hammer?
I want to show you the video. It'll take me too long to find it.
Oh, go ahead. The other thing is,
and then he did a video for us for Divine Maskus.
Oh,
yeah,
like a music video.
Well, don't show him that. That's going to be a big reveal.
So here's the other thing about that.
Now? Should I not tell
it's
anybody?
Don't tell anyone.
While they talk about
don't
that.
Tell anyone.
No.
Yeah.
I can't speak over if you guys are yelling.
Yeah, that's why we're yelling.
Really great. What's really great about that is that this saved our butt, because in the mixing, or mastering, the album, a mistake was made by a tape op there, and they erased some of
a song.
Right.
And it's because Jay Maskus had a copy of the 2-inch tape that we were able to get that back and do some repairs to the beginning of Do You Love Me Now.
So not only is he a guitar hero, but just a hero.
Just a hero. Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
I love Jay Maskus.
Yeah.
He's a hard guy to interview, but.
And we're not.
Oh, this is the best. Are you kidding?
This is just.
Like, I just get to sit here and watch it kind of unfold most of the time.
I wanted to ask Jay a question, and my question would be to Jay, did you redo some of the drums on that Divine Maskus version?
Wait, you feel like there's sound?
You feeling territorial?
No, not at all. I just can't remember this. Uh-huh. It seemed like the drum.
There's a couple of patterns.
Yes.
That you do not think you did.
Yeah, and you know, Jay's pretty.
He plays drums.
And he can do a little cutting and moving with the stuff. And
no, you could ask him that, but I'm pretty sure the answer is going to sound something like,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you know how to get him talking, though, is you talk about bicycling, oddly. That's how you get Jay talking.
Really? Josephine is
really?
I'm a big fan of
it. Shoulder necklace.
Yeah. What do you got? What am I looking at? Oh, okay.
It's the Sagino 75.
Yeah.
Chain ring.
I mean, I couldn't have got that detailed, but
yeah,
it looks fantastic.
Dork.
Oh, we're all dorks. So I don't know what you're. That's what we're here for. It's so good, this record, and I do love hearing all about these deep details of this and the 30th anniversary. And I should also bring up how good this record is as well. All Nerve came out a few years ago. I was telling you when we did the R-Ring interview how often me and my wife around the house will say, wait in the car. I got business. I got business. Oh, it's so good. That's the obvious question. That's been a few years. Is there more?
Well, COVID put kind of a damper on some things in terms of sucking some time away. And now we're doing this. This is our big... You know, coming back after COVID, like we just did for the first time. When I say the word COVID, I feel like, what am I talking about?
Mm.
Like, you know, the some 1918 flu or something, 17, whatever it was.
Yeah.
That's all I had. Go ahead. Anybody else? Flu.
We're working on stuff.
Yeah.
Josephine sent some music and I saw Jim's band about a month ago. They've got a great instrumental surf band. Kelly's been out with Proto Martyr and doing the R-Ring thing.
And then Kim.
Solo thing.
She's got a
Jim
solo
plays
record.
On it. Kelly plays on it. Joe played on it, except for I raced her.
That's awesome.
That's
I had to re-hit the drums.
Amazing.
Did that make sense?
Should be out next year.
All right.
Yeah. It's incredible.
This is multiple interviews.
You'll lose it when you hear her. You will.
She's really talking you up.
Yeah. Sorry. Especially my guitar part and like Jim's drum parts are the best.
The best.
You guys hear that ringing
on the record?
Yes.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
I've lost my that ear. Frequency.
It is your ear.
Okay.
Your collective ears.
It's my ears too.
Oh, that's okay.
When you spend this much time together, inevitably you start hearing the same thing. The same ringing. I believe that's how it works.
There's no ringing, is there? Is there really ringing?
I don't know. I've lost track of where we are at this point, honestly.
Start again.
Start from the top. Let's do this right.
Let's have a fresh start.
Hello.
Happy 30th anniversary. Turn this into some kind of Charlie Kaufman Inside Out-esque interview. I'm only quickly hitting on the business anyway, because I know there's touring. You guys are doing some shows with Belly, which is great, because of course that means Tanya. And let me tell you, for us nerds, these are those moments where we go, hi, hey, cool.
That's nice.
Do you all have to battle it out? Does she become an honorary member again on the stage? Do you guys have to fight?
We've played some shows in Boston, and we've tried to get her to pick up an axe and play guitar, and she won't.
Really?
She did come up and sing.
She did.
Well, she has an open invitation to do play and sing anything.
Yeah.
And we did have her join us on Happiness is a Warm Gun, and she just blew it.
It was us.
Train wreck.
It wasn't us.
Really?
Yes. Wasn't it, Jim?
It was her. It was a train wreck.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
We gotta try it again.
Because clearly she's not rehearsed. or practiced.
She's not professional.
But that just gives you the excuse to try it again, as you said.
That's yeah.
She's just going
to. Like,
we need to.
You can't go out on that.
We need, no, right? You know, we have to ask her. Yeah, we need to not do a wing it thing. We need
she
to
might
ask
not
her.
Come
yeah.
back.
We have to beg her to come back, I'm sure. She needs a redemption song.
Yes, she does. It's true.
Well, we will play whatever she wants.
Yes.
These moments are too special. Mm. I hope that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
I'd say I'd fly up and see it, but I'll probably just watch it on YouTube afterwards. So yeah. It's, yeah. I'll be here.
You'll probably most likely be able to watch it. If she really makes a mistake, it'll probably get higher.
But... Great. See? Yeah. That's what you want to see.
That's true.
Please, please, please. Okay. Once again, 30th anniversary. It's so great hearing you guys doing what you're doing. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Nice. Thank you, Kyle.
My thanks to the breeders, Kim, Kelly, Josephine, Jim. The 30th edition of Last Splash is out now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, I do hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. New ones every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists. Discover those new ones. Again, Spotify, Apple Podcast at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. It's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of favorites from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. The best in new music, their anniversary spins, music news, bonus interviews. One of my recent shows had the music of Joni Mitchell, Pretenders, David Bowie, The Stones, The Smiths, The Flaming Lips, Foo Fighters, Amy Mann, Wilco, Tyler Childers, The Fugees, John Lee Hooker, Mary Chapin Carpenter, The Tragically Hip, The Black Keys, Alison Russell, Margot Price, R.E.M., Moby, The Raconteurs, and my interview with Madison Beer. That's just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also find me on the old social media spots, any of them actually. The address is always the same, at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Do I have crumbs on my brownie crumbs on my face?
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.